and welcome to Heirloom Radio, a different kind of oldies program. I'm your host, John Lovering. The Four Star Playhouse was an American anthology series that aired on the CBS network from September 25, 1952, to July 26, 1956. The show was owned by Four Star International and featured a variety of episodes ranging from surreal mysteries like The Man on the Train to light comedies such as The Lost Silk Hat. The original idea of the show was that Charles Boyer, Ida Lupino, David Niven, and Dick Powell would take turns starring in episodes. However, other performers like Ronald Coleman and Joan Fontaine also led episodes from time to time. Although it never made the Nielsen Top 30, the ratings were sufficient to keep it on the air for four seasons. And it was on television in 1954, and it was voted the second best film network television drama series. The show featured a rotating cast of actors, including Herb Vigran, Regis Toomey, Ralph Moody, who used to do the Pepperidge Farm commercials. I think he was from Maine, and many other people. And it was sponsored by the Singer Company during its first biweekly season, and then later by Bristol Myers when it became a weekly series in the fall of 1953. The show you're going to hear on this track came from August 21st, 1949. And in this four-star playhouse, we have Loretta Young, Rosalind Russell, Fred McMurray, and Robert Cummings. The episode is titled The Incredible Anna Lee. I'm going to let you get right into it because the actor, I believe it's Rosalind Russell, comes up and talks to the audience and introduces the program that you're going to listen to, I hope. And I think you'll enjoy it. Pretty good show.
Here, transcribed, is another in NBC's outstanding parade of new shows. Four Star Playhouse, a repertory company of four great Hollywood stars.
This is Rosalind Russell.
This is Fred McMurray.
This is Loretta Young.
This is Robert Cummings.
Yes, these are the stars heard weekly on Four Star Playhouse. Ladies and gentlemen, one of our four-star players and star of tonight's play, Miss Rosalind Russell.
Thank you, and welcome to our playhouse again. Every Sunday evening at this time, Fred McMurray, Loretta Young, Robert Cummings, and I appear in new dramatizations of stories selected from Cosmopolitan magazine. Stories by the world's leading writers of popular fiction. Tonight, I am a very busy girl. Tonight, I play several people, because as Anna Lee Barker, wistful movie starlet trying to make up with energy for her lack of beauty, I have a hard time making up my mind just who I want to be. So I try to be every movie star I've ever seen since I was four. And our evening's tour de force becomes a tour de farce. So hop on the merry-go-round for a dizzy whirl with a dizzy girl as we bring you Robert Carson's The Incredible Anna Lee with Frank Lovejoy as Jim.
My name is Jim Malvern, and you'll be surprised to learn that I am not a private eye. I'm a public relations man with Imperial Pictures, Hollywood, California. It's highly significant that I was in the middle of writing the word stupendous on my typewriter when Anna Lee Barker hurtled through my door with Mr. Pickrell, head of publicity.
Hallelujah! Hallelujah, they are hooked.
Who are you?
Miss Barker, please.
I hooked them. They signed the contract.
Who did what?
Miss Barker, they'll hear you down in the front office.
They signed the contract. I'm an actress, it says here. They start paying me tomorrow. Hi-ho, silver, mink, and sable.
What is this, Pickrell? A stunt publicizing the case of the missing marbles?
Now tell him, Pickerel. Inform him.
Jim, this is Anna Lee Barker.
Just call me Anna Lee. I'm practically a star now. Do you want me to pose for pictures? I've got my bathing suit on under this dress. Just in case.
Just to happen to have one with you.
That's right.
Anna Lee, this is Jim Malvern. Jim's going to handle your publicity.
With thick gloves.
My own publicity man. Oh, boy, I have come to high estate.
Got a lot of animation, Jim, don't you think?
Might come from Benzedrine or something.
Oh, no, I come from Michigan. It's something in the water, you know. Oh, boy, my own publicity man. Gee, what if they find out I can't act?
Well, it'll be the usual routine. You'll be a star. You'll make a large salary for years.
I have a statement for the press. For immediate release, to wit. I love Hollywood. I think pictures are a form of art. Say, where do I go at the end of the week to get my pay?
Jim will show you.
Yeah, and take it easier, honey, or you'll blow your top.
Now, don't you worry about me. I'm taking everything in my stride. Say, tell me something. If I go crazy, do they keep on paying me?
Only if they go crazy, too. You want to eat?
You mean now or in general?
Have you had lunch?
Well, I want to eat in the studio restaurant where I can be seen.
Oh, sure, sure. Maybe Loretta Young or Fred McMurray will ask for your autograph.
And they shall have it.
Pickerel, this girl's got something.
I'm not pretty, and I can't act, but I've got a quality of sheer enthusiasm and electricity that will get over to an audience and give them a jag.
Yeah, you got more than that.
I got delusions of grandeur, but in a very modest way.
I gotta go outside. I feel my ulcer coming on.
Well, shall we eat, Dynamo Girl?
I think you ought to eat very nourishing foods to help you keep your strength up, because I warn you, I am the only non-Mohammedan whirling dervish in captivity. I will run you ragged, but the experience will be worth the 10 years it takes off your life. Now, how much of your money can I spend for my lunch?
Anne.
Hmm?
Annalee, aren't you going to eat?
Oh.
Hey, Swami. Come out of it.
I was just thinking.
Any luck?
It's so tragic.
What is so tragic?
Here I am at the height of my career.
Hasn't even started yet.
Here I am, almost rich, almost loved, almost famous. The smallest accident could ruin everything.
Like how?
Bacteria, a banana peel, stepping on a cobra as I get out of bed.
That figures.
Oh, it's so tragic. It's so sad.
Oh, cut. Who was that?
Garbo. Pass the butter.
Now shall we undertake to make a fragment of sense?
Yes, please try, Jim.
Oh, well. Imperial Pictures is going to give you the big build-up. That's my job here, making mountains out of molehills. Mm-hmm. That used to be my specialty.
Used to be. I want somebody with experience.
I was away from it for 3 years. The president greeted me.
Ah, you were in the WOA. Which one?
French and Indian.
Now I see why you have a slight limp.
I was tomahawked by a slight Indian.
You were leading a charge? Whom against?
It was against a desk in the Pentagon building. A full colonel kicked me out from under it.
Oh, but you're home again. You've come home to make me wealthy. That full colonel can never hurt you again.
Calling Robert Cummings. Robert Cummings, can you come to stage 13 at once?
Ah, someday that shall happen to me.
When?
Calling Annalee Barker. Annalee Barker, will you call Operator 5 in London? Queen Elizabeth would chat with you.
Annalee?
All right, so I slipped the girl a fin.
How would you like to handle my publicity?
I would not dream to presume upon the domain of skilled professional craftsmen skilled in their craft.
All right, all right. I'll arrange an interview with Luella Parsons.
Good, what'll I ask her?
Oh, we're going to try something different. Lolly's going to ask you the question.
Oh?
It's a new approach.
There I was, Miss Parsons. May I call you Lolly? There I was, Lolly, in Michigan. A complete failure. I was busted financially and likewise spiritually when I was 14 and discovered that men do not like gabby dames with undistinguished faces. In addition, I'm stupid. But one day, the Dramatic Society put on a play. I got the lead because I was the oldest and biggest girl in school, and the rest is history. Do you realize how much they're paying me per week, Miss Parsons? 500 clams.
Everything was an act with Annalee, but she had something. I wasn't sure what. Underneath all the yatada and pretense, there was something wistful and hungry and elusive.
Jim? Jim, do you ever go out with girls?
It's part of my profession.
Oh, I know you have a pipe and probably a book and slippers. But are they enough?
Next week, I'm buying a faithful dog.
Jim, darling, the moonlight is bad for mad, mad people like me. Will you kiss me?
I got news for you. There isn't any moon tonight.
Kiss me anyhow.
Why?
I want to throw myself away. I want to melt into the darkness and to be one with eternity. I've got to stop thinking.
You can't stop thinking.
Why can't I?
You never started.
Oh. Jim, dear.
Look, Annalee, let me come quickly to the point, which is that you're real nutty, and I definitely do not want nutty dames to love. In addition, I was married once.
Ah, a society girl, and she was beautiful.
A chorus girl, and she was terrible. Now, you go get yourself somebody else without wound stripes.
It's funny.
Yeah, hilarious.
What a lovely sardonic joke. Is this, then, what I've lived for, to be the butt of a mocking indifferent fate? Is it, I say? Is it?
Oh, cut it. You tone that down a little and don't breathe so hard.
Well, I keep smelling her pipe, and it makes me sick.
Annie, my girl, you need never want. You can make a good living just doing impersonations of yourself.
Jim, do I walk like a camel?
When I was with Lawrence of Arabia, which was never, we were briefed in the concept that camels walk beautifully.
Are my hip bones like bicycle handlebars?
No.
Like antlers?
No.
Like hip bones?
No.
I'm worried.
Why?
Well, my first screen test is tomorrow.
Yeah, I know that.
It's got to be stupendous.
It'll be even better than that. It'll be acceptable. The next day, they shot the test, the full treatment, the works. She came off the set looking pale and shaken. I took her to lunch. She couldn't eat much, only a steak or two. Her eyes were wide, dry, and steady. Come on, kid. Eat. Live.
I can't.
Which?
Neither.
Oh, you were great today.
I could smell my acting.
I disagree.
It was like the faint aroma of burning automobile tires. Recaps yet. This is the end. I will go to my garage. I will close the doors. The exhaust pipe of my sweet little Maxwell and...
Ah, that's the coward's way out.
Goodbye, Jim. Take care of yourself. I hope you'll find a better girl than I was to you.
You weren't my girl.
I was, too.
Well, much as I'm loath to quarrel with you, in your final hours, our relationship was that of fellow wage slaves.
I'll leave you a note of farewell.
I'll murder you if you do.
Farewell, Jim, my beloved.
Well, so long forever until this afternoon. We're going down to the harbor and help launch a new ship.
I should be out of this world.
When weren't you out of this world? Pick up at your apartment, 1:00. At 1:00, I buzzed the buzzer of Anna Lee's apartment. And there wasn't any answer. I tried it again, no answer, and I got worried. I got down on my knees in the hall and tried to smell gas under the door. I smelled fried onions. I got scared. I ran down to the garages in back of the building. Sure enough, Annalee's garage door was closed, and I could hear an engine running inside. I lifted the door. A wave of fumes and monoxide surged out at me. I ran inside, yelling with grief. Annalee! Annalee!
Hey, don't go in there. You want to get dead?
Annalee, where are you? Honey, where are you?
Out here. Here I come.
Let me go, you dizzy doll.
Here we are. What a story.
Oh, I'll kill you. I'll kill you in cold blood if I have to send out for some. You planned it this
way. No, I was really going to bump myself off.
Why didn't you,
then? I had to go back for my lipstick and my compact. I look bad enough alive.
Oh, peanut brittle, don't ever give me a scare like that again.
Rhubarb pie, you thought I was dead.
I was afraid you weren't.
I take notice you whipped off your coat to flap away the fumes from my limp and pitifully helpless form.
I was pulling off my coat to plug up any leaks in the garage. Annie, I think I'm gonna...
Jim, help! Oh, he's passed out. Get a doctor. Newspaper reporters, ambulance, photographers, help!
You are listening to the 4-star Playhouse dramatization of Robert Carson's Cosmopolitan magazine story, The Incredible Anna Lee, starring Rosalind Russell, with Frank Lovejoy as Jim.
The police came, so did the reporters, so did the photographers. Anna Lee got her publicity, only there was a slight switch. Somehow the reporters got it that I was trying to end it all, and Anna Lee rescued me. There was nothing wrong with me. It was relief that Anna Lee was safe that made me pass out. I revived in time to take Anna Lee to the dock and help launch the new ship.
Gee, Wiz, you might have told me that all the beauty and glamour in Hollywood was going to be out here today. How can I compete with them?
Now, kid, you've got personality. Now, you get in there and get in the act now.
No, I don't want... Wait! I see something good.
Come back here. Anne. Honey. Screwball! Anna Lee came back an hour later. She had in tow a big, despondent-looking lieutenant commander with a crew haircut and the padding walk of a prizeman. I didn't like it.
Commander Thornton Carlyle, this is Jim Malvern.
How are you?
Thornton Carlyle.
Jim watches over me.
Hmm?
At the studio.
Nice watching.
It's an income.
I'm hungry.
So let's eat.
Taxi.
We'll go in my limousine.
Limousine? Did you hear that, Jim? This highly decorated lieutenant commander possesses a limousine.
How is it on carbon monoxide output, Commander?
What's that you say?
Now, Jim, you must stop thinking those morbid thoughts.
I am just...
Jim just tried to commit suicide this afternoon. I saved him.
Oh, of all the out-and-out fabrications,
that is... Now,
don't
you try to deny it, Jim. It's in all the afternoon papers.
Well, come on. I know a seafood place that's terrific.
Oh, good, 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 good. I'll order jellyfish.
Jellyfish? They don't have jellyfish.
Well, I can order it, can't I? And then you tell them who I am, and it'll be on the radio that I eat jellyfish. Come on, I'm starving.
And there I was in the South Pacific with all those PT boats. I thought the war would never end.
Oh, Commander. You must blame for prolonging the war.
I beg your pardon?
Yeah, this dame can send you howling to the nearest snake pit.
Yeah? Well, I'm going to have another drink. Anna Lee?
No, thanks, you hulking dipsomaniac. Here, you know, alcohol might make you look good to me.
Well, now that's a funny way for a woman to talk who deliberately picked me up.
I didn't pick you up. Anyhow, all the other girls had Navy men around them, and there I was alone, an ugly duckling among swans.
You are not ugly.
I'll thank you not to contradict a lady.
Attaboy, lady.
Your servant, ma'am.
I wanted a naval escort like I saw with Virginia Mayo and Esther Williams, so I picked this big oaf.
Well, now I'm an oaf.
Oh, I want men to admire me. I want to be loved. Instead, I am homely, obscure, and unwanted.
Oh, here she goes again. If Anna Lee fails in pictures, she's going to kill herself. You know that?
Shut up.
Kill herself?
You shut up, too.
Well, how?
Some involved gag with an exhaust pipe.
That's been changed. It'll be a gun, and I'm going to take a couple of you with me.
If I'd have known what it was like here in the States, I would never have come home.
Let's go, Anna Lee.
Can I drop you somewhere?
On what and from what altitude?
Anna Lee, better come home with me alone. Studio orders.
He lies in his teeth, but they're his teeth.
Anna Lee, I don't understand this at all.
My dear Commander, this has been perfectly charming. If I've said anything amiss at all, believe me, it's only because you are an ill-favored lout and deserve no better. Bless you and keep you, Commander.
Anna Lee, don't be like that. Can't you see I'm all...
Thornton, don't you understand? Suppose I should get to like you. I'm fighting that attraction now.
Cut it, baby.
But if it gets too powerful, can we look forward to anything but tragedy?
Not a thing. Come on, Anna Lee. It's getting late.
No. This deep-sea flounder here fatally fascinates me. I'm going with him.
I went home reaping traffic tickets as I went. I had myself a problem, all right. I liked that girl too much. Suppose I told her that Thornton Carlyle was the biggest catch in the woods. Big money, first family, and hero, all that. Where would I be? And then I thought that she owed it to herself to make the most of the big flounder. Around midnight, I rang the buzzer at her apartment.
boy, what a delightful surprise. Do stumble in.
You were out with Commander Carlyle tonight.
So if I was. He treats me almost as if I were good-looking instead of just untalented.
Well, Annalee, I feel I owe it to you to tell you that your big type chum is none other than V. Thornton Carlyle, second or third.
Isn't he rather big for an infielder?
Annalee, Thornton Carlyle is the biggest catch since Moby Dick. Any romance with him is absolutely 18-carat publicity.
Merci. If I decide to marry him, I shall let you know as my publicity counsel. You will be the first to know it.
Thanks.
I'll even tell you before I tell the commander.
Or school.
It's nothing, really, DeBoy, nothing.
Well, that's it. Good night, dear girl.
Jim?
Yeah?
You may kiss me, dear boy.
Okay. Just one short one on that loud mouth of yours, and I'll be en route.
Not bad.
I better beat it, Jim.
Jim?
Yeah.
You think I'm crazy, don't you?
Well, you have your lucid moments.
Well, who would be most likely to attract attention in Hollywood? A sane girl or a daffy one?
Annalee. Annie, if you've been making a fool of me when all the time I...
Yes, Jim. When all the time you what?
Never mind.
All right. But Commander Carlyle is everything you say he is. A catch. Do I make myself clear?
Yeah, dreadfully clear. By hook or crook, you're going to marry that bump.
By hook or crook, I'm going to be married. Is that bad? And how bad, in your opinion?
I want to thank you for a very strange interlude. Goodbye, Annalee.
Well, don't take any wooden Indians, Jim.
In the morning, I handed Pickerel my resignation as vice president in charge of publicity for Annalee Barker. They set me to work sorting shiny pictures of movie stars. For a week, I kept clear of Annalee, but I couldn't help reading the papers. A couple of hep columnists predicted Annalee's marriage to Thornton Carlyle. And then on Monday morning, Annalee slouched into the office. I pegged the get-up right away. The short, tight skirt and the tight sweater. The tough girl of a thousand affairs, hard and brittle, but willing to make the supreme sacrifice for a good man. Everybody in the office tuned in right away. Hey. All right, take it. Shut up, you guys, will you?
Hello, big boy. You got a cigarette on you? Dark and deadly?
Now, look, Annalee.
Jim, you gotta come back to me. Jim.
Ann, you gotta get out of here. Ann, my breakfast is settling. Ann.
Oh, Jim, I didn't mean what I said the other night. I'm not really playing it smart to get me a husband. I'm really nuts.
Oh, go home, Annalee. Ring off. The whole office is watching.
You gotta believe me, Jim. I've lived hard and dangerously and thrown away the best things in my life for a gag. Forgive me, Jim. Take me and my publicity back.
Take you and your woman of a thousand faces away and start a movement of some kind.
Ah, I see. Then this is how it all ends. But I warn you, you can't cast me off like a broken flower. One day I'll have my revenge. I'll humiliate and shame you, as you have humiliated and shamed and degraded me. Farewell, false heart.
Arthur.
Shut up. All right, I quit. Farewell, false flunkies. And that was definitely the last I saw of Annalee Barker in the role of Sadie Thompson, that is. However, 2 weeks later, she returned as Orphans of the Storm, both of them. I was at home smoking my pipe and minding my own business when the doorbell began to come out by the roots. All right. Granted, you want in. I'm coming.
You hound, you.
Oh, Commander Carlyle. Nice to see.
Why, you contemptible cad.
I didn't want to come here, James. Truly, I did not.
Well, come in. 'Tis a night for nary man nor beast. Now, what is this?
Well, you know what it is.
I did not wish to come here. Truly, I did not.
Cut, cut.
Don't you snarl at this fine, innocent girl. I asked her to marry me. She accepted. And then she...
How could I come to him, a soiled dove?
Soiled dove?
Why, you dirty dog.
I told him about our affair.
You'll marry this woman or I'll slaughter
you. Wait a minute. I know this act. Annie, you're going to have a baby.
Uh-huh. A girl.
We'll call her Lynn. East Lynn.
Then it's true.
Well, what can I say, Commander?
I'm going to knock you kicking, sir. Say the word, sweetheart, and I'll pulverize this pier.
You don't dare. Big Jim Malvern is worth two of the likes of you.
I'll give up. I'm through.
No, Commander, marry her. Maybe you'll find out in time who she really is.
I wouldn't dare.
Craven, poltron, coward, and wretch.
Now what's she talking about?
Firm of lawyers on Hill Street, I think.
Good night. Oh, for those quiet days in the PT boats again.
Hey, peanut brittle.
Well, it was an act, Jim. I expected you to deny everything, of course.
Annalee, what do you want out of life, anyhow?
What everyone else wants out of life. Someone to love and someone to be loved by. When I wasn't pretty enough to get that, I settled for the next best thing, a career. But I wasn't pretty enough for that either. I had to do cartwheels and handstands, and I did them to win second best.
You didn't really want to be an actress?
Uh-uh. Consolation prize only.
What about those starring vehicles?
Perambulators.
And big premieres?
Well, twins would be a nice big start.
What about spectacles?
Well, I'll bring them to you with your pipe and slippers.
Now, what about this?
Oh.
Oh, Jim, what if that having a baby is just enough... Well, pardon me.
Cut. Baby?
Oh, no, Jim. Can't we have a retake? Four-star Playhouse. Rosalind Russell speaking.
This is Fred McMurray, Roz, as if you didn't know.
Fred McMurray. Well, how nice of you to call. As if you liked the show.
As if I didn't. And I'm seriously considering asking your incredible Anna Lee to co-star with me next Sunday when I do Corey on the Four-Star Playhouse.
Corey? What's that? Tell us about it.
It's the story of a man who's known simply as Corey. A man from the wrong side of the tracks who falls in love with an uptown girl. It's a tense, bitter story with a lot of punch. But with plenty of heart. Good, strong love story, too.
It sounds very potent, Fred. And I'll be at the radio pulling my handkerchief to shreds.
Okay, Roz. Thanks. Good night.
Goodbye, Fred. And thanks for calling. And good night, friends. Tune in, Fred, next Sunday.
You have been listening to Four Star Playhouse, tonight starring Rosalind Russell in Robert Carson's story, The Incredible Anna Lee, adapted for radio by Milton Geiger. Frank Lovejoy was featured as Jim Malvern. Others in the cast were Betty Moran, George Neese, and Ken Christie. Four Star Playhouse is directed by Warren Lewis. Music composed and conducted by Albert Harris. Portions were transcribed. Rosalind Russell will soon be seen in the Columbia Pictures comedy, Tell It to the Judge. Each week at this time, one of our four star players, Fred McMurray, Loretta Young, Robert Cummings, and Rosalind Russell, will be heard in a special adaptation of a popular fiction story selected from Cosmopolitan magazine, written by the world's foremost fiction authors. On future weeks, you will hear Loretta Young in Once Upon a Horse by Virginia Faulkner and Robert Cummings in Surprise for the Professor. Next week on Four Star Playhouse, Fred McMurray will be starred in Leo Rosten's thrilling novel, Corey. Break that match, douse that fire, get a little careless, and you'll land among the guilty nine. Who are the guilty nine? They're the people who are responsible for the 9 out of 10 forest fires that are caused by carelessness. Last year, forest fires blackened 30 million acres of rich American forest land, an area the size of New York State. The lumber that was destroyed would have built 86,000 five-room houses. America's safety and future, your safety and future, are as sound as our natural resources. Help conserve our forests. Crush out all cigarette, cigar, and pipe ashes. Break that match in two before you throw it away. Drench campfires twice before leaving them. It's your country. Save it from fire. In just a few moments, you are going to hear another of the NBC Symphony Summer Concerts. And 1 hour from now, Ethel Merman is sure to delight you in her own new show. For the best in entertainment all evening long, keep your dial tuned to your favorite NBC station. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.